craftsman. Lifted up lines and all the lashes round the mad room. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you very much for joining me again today. I hope you like that very cheery music, which my son Liam composed way back 12 years ago when he was just 18. I've got a whole CD. It's called Songs for a Rainy Day, and it's absolutely beautiful, very bright and bubbly. If you tuned in last week, you would have heard the first third of a talk by Tony Zuniga, who came to New Zealand in 2000, and he spoke at the Eucharistic Convention. His talk is called You Were Made for Greatness, Why Settle for Anything Less? So he was just getting to the part that he met this great American or Mexican beauty called Rosie, and she had cancer, and she had only 30 days to live. So let's go straight back to Tony.
I had no idea what a three-point plan was. It just came out so natural, and that's when I began to believe that when I get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit take over, beautiful things happen. So she interrupted me, and I'm glad she did, because she said, why did you say we're going to do this plan for 30 days? I said, well, your brother told me last night in the restaurant you have 30 days left to live. She says, I'm scared, Tony. I really am scared. I said, well, I would be too, Rosie, except for one thing. In about 2 hours, I'm getting on an airplane to fly back home to Philadelphia. That airplane could crash. And I may be dead in less than 30 hours, not 30 days. You might not believe me. So I said, let's not worry about dying or death. I said, let God take us when he's ready to take us. I said, let's live today. This is the only moment we have. She said, okay. What's the first point? I said, God, what is the first point? And when I opened my eyes, there was seriously, there was a little green neon sign on top of her left shoulder, and it was blinking. To this day, I'm still wondering why it was green. It could have been blue or red. And the sign said, prayer, prayer, prayer. And it went over her head, and I followed it. I said, prayer. And she said, we're praying. Everybody's praying. I said, but you're praying the wrong way. She says, what do you mean we're praying the wrong way? Well, what are you praying for? She says, everybody's praying that I'd be healed. I said, wrong. You mean we're not supposed to pray that? I said, absolutely not. So what are we supposed to pray for? So I told her the story of my tailbone and the miraculous healing. I said, Aunt Rosie, that I've suffered, and only God and I know how much it was painful and how much it hurt. Not once did I ask God to heal my tailbone. It was when I told him, I says, I need to know how I have deviated from you. And God told me, you need to forgive someone. And I forgave the people in California that I didn't want to see. I humbled myself before God, not before these people. And when the forgiveness took place, the healing took place. What I'm trying to tell you, Rosie, is that spiritual healing has to come first before the physical. It works that way. God, you love God more than anything in the world, believe me. God will take care of you. All he has to do is let it be done according to my will. And whether you have a toothache, a toenail, a lupus, or leukemia, or cancer in the ovaries, it's done. You're healed. So what we're going to do for the next 30 days, Rosie, we're going to pray that you get back in the path of God. We call it in the state of grace in the Catholic Church, and then you'll be healed. Okay, I think you're right. He says, I'll pray that. Don't forget about the healing. God will take care of that. Just get closer to God. Okay, what's point number two? I says, Rosie, forgive me for saying that, but there's a knuckliness inside of you. As beautiful as you are on the outside, there's a lot of dirt, and you have a lot of anger and frustration and bitterness. Apparently you hate somebody. You got to get rid of that anger. That anger is going to kill you before the ovarian cancer you have. Finally, she realized that perhaps she was right, because she was yelling at her mother, yelling at her children, yelling at her brother. And she finally admitted that she needed to control her anger and come out with it. I said, look in the mirror every day, Rosie, and thank God for the beauty, the outside beauty, those beautiful brown eyes, jet black hair, those ruby red lips. And she had a beautiful body, too. So I said, but ask God, help me to discover the beauty that's trapped in my heart so that it can come out and be at peace with the world. And don't be surprised that in 30 days or less, your cancer will disappear. He said, you're making sense. What's point number three? I said, well, if you didn't like point number two, you're going to hate me for point number three. Your brother told me last night that you don't want to talk about your divorce. He says, that's right, I don't want to talk about it. I said, we are going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. We are going to talk about it. Listen, Rosie, listen very carefully. I don't care what happened between you and your husband. If you feel like telling me just to get it off your chest, so to speak, I'll listen. And nobody will ever know about it. I'll become like a priest in the confessional as I die in here. But only if you feel that you need to tell me. I don't need to hear this. I don't care what happened. Because listen carefully, Rosie. I don't care if he beat the heck out of you every night. I don't care if he got drunk every night. I don't care if he never supported you. I don't care if he had seven mistresses and slept with a different woman every night of the week. I don't even care if he molested your two daughters. What I do care, beginning today and for the rest of your life, and you could live a long time if you listen to me carefully, you're going to have to forgive him completely, totally, unequivocally. Give him back to God with all the love and compassion that's in your heart. And she yelled at me, I gave him back to God a long time. I already forgave him. I said, Rosie, you told me in the beginning that we would speak the truth. I'm speaking the truth. I already forgave him. Okay, Rosie, if there was a knock on the door right now, and you say, I wonder who that is, I said, answer it. And you open the door, and there's your ex-husband standing there. He just flew in from Germany. Could you look at him and say, honey, what are you doing here in California? Could you run up there and hug him and kiss him?
You don't know what that is, what he did to me.
I said, Rosie, I just finished telling you, it makes no difference what he did. You have to forgive him. You have no choice. I'll never forgive him. She said, never. He can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. So I got pushed up. I really felt like, so I started walking towards the kitchen. And listen, Rosie, let's have a quick cup of tea or coffee. I got to get back to the airport. I don't want to miss my plane, but I'll be back in 30 days. And she turned around and says, you'll be back in 30 days for what? I said, for your funeral. I said, your brother will call me, and out of respect for the family, I'll be here. You know who's going to cry at the funeral? Your two daughters, your mother, your brother. But I'm going to cry the hardest and the loudest. Yesterday, I didn't even know you existed in this world. Last night, I rejected you for 4 hours in a restaurant. I didn't even want to see you. But now that I'm here, why aren't you listening to what God is telling you through me? Is forgiveness... Listen, Rosie, you think it'll solve everything if I go to Germany and put a bullet in his brain and kill him for you? You think that solves everything? Do you realize that the more you hate someone, the harder it is for that person to save his own soul? Hatred is that way, and so is love. The more you hate someone, that your husband is finding a very difficult time trying to get back into the harmony of God himself. You think God is up there saying, ah, Rosie was right, he was wrong. God loves us all. There was a separation. But God wants you to live in peace and in love together. He could be your best friend. And she said, is forgiveness possible? It's not only possible, it's necessary. As Herbert Marshall once said, the one who does not forgive burns the bridge over he or she has to pass someday. So I said, Jesus, who was tortured, whipped, crowned with thorns, dragged, humiliated, and hung on a cross for 3 hours, the first words from the cross were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Without forgiveness, Rosie, there is no love. Without love, there is no God. And without God, there is no salvation, period. So she started to cry and said, you know, you're absolutely right. I guess I have to pray every night. Remember the good days you had together. And then you'll realize how beautiful life can be when you learn to forgive. Would you believe it? 30 days later, she calls me on the phone that the cancer disappeared completely. And I said, praise the Lord. So she said 1981 was the point of no return for humanity in this world. Everything happened in 1981. Our Holy Father was shot and survived. President Ronald Reagan was shot the same year and he survived. The President of Egypt, Anwar Sadat, was shot and he died. The first airplane crash in Yugoslavia took place in 1981. They discovered the menace of deadly disease of AIDS in Georgia, in the state of Georgia in the United States in 1981. But something beautiful happened in 1981, which you all know about. Our Blessed Mother came down from heaven in a little village known as Medjugorje and appeared to six children. She came as the Queen of Peace, and a lot of people said perhaps for the last time. But also something else more beautiful happened also right after that. On December the 2nd of 1981, our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, announced to the Catholic world that if at all possible to do everything in their power, any sacrifice that was needed, anything that they had to do, to try and have perpetual adorations in every Catholic church in the world. Some churches listened, some didn't, and worse than that, some didn't even care. Our pastor in Our Lady of Fatima, where we recited, Father John Griffin, which I mentioned in my book, decided immediately that he wanted to have perpetual adoration. 6 days later, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on December the 8th, we opened up our church to perpetual adoration. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and it's been going on since 1981. There were 2 hours... There were two hours missing there, and I took them. I said, I'll take them one day. And for 7 years, I was there in front of the Blessed Sacrament, talking to our Lord, thanking Him for my life, asking Him for help. My mother used to say, if you need answers to your life, go to the Blessed Sacrament. That's where you will get all the answers. So, right after that, someone suggested I write a book. I said, write a book? I said, what for? It was an Indian in an Indian reservation in California. I said, what should I want to write a book? He says, because people need to hear the miracles that God has wrought upon you. And what happened was that my life before that or throughout that period, Mamie, my wife Mamie, would take me to the airport on a Thursday. I would fly somewhere, Denver, Houston, wherever. She would pick me up on a Tuesday, and the first question she asked me, how did it go? Which is a normal question. I would answer, well, everything went fine. When you work with God, for God, and through God, everything went fine. But there's a lot of hungry people out there. They're looking for answers in their own places. They think they can find happiness and joy in a new car, a new home, a new job, a new marriage. And Mamie said very calmly, what they're looking for is for God. When they find God in their hearts, they will never be hungry again. Why don't you write a book someday and call it Another Kind of Hunger? That makes sense. A month later, a man in California is dying of cancer. He said, I refuse to die till I see you in person. I said, I have no plans to go to California. So he said, well, I'm going to stay alive till I see you. Would you believe it? The next day, I got a free ticket to go to California. I spent 5 days with him. And he told me the same thing. Tony, you got to write a book. There's a lot of hungry people out there. They need to hear about the miracles that God has showered upon you. So I decided to write a book, and I called it Another Kind of Hunger. It was my first book. It was a real book. By that, I mean a book. And I printed 5,000 copies myself, and they're all gone, so I decided to record it into a two-tape audio tape cassette called an audiobook, and that's what's available here at my table. And then somebody else suggested, why don't you write a book about the Blessed Mother? And I did, Mother of the Most Beautiful Love in the World. And the one who gave the name, the title to that book, was our Holy Father. And let me tell you how it happened. The people of Peru in South America decided that they were going to order a very beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother in Spain. So when they went to pick up the statue, they decided to stop at the Vatican so the Holy Father could see it and bless it. And when the Holy Father, according to what they tell me, when he saw it, he looked at it, and finally he said, definitely, this is the Mother of the Most Beautiful Love in the World. I said, wow, what a title. I'm going to write a book about it. So I wrote it. The thing that surprises me, that this book and the first book have gone all over the world. I got letters from the Philippines. I got it from Japan, from Vietnam, that they're enjoying the book. I have no idea how it got over there because I don't publicize it. Tell people, buy it, fine. If you don't buy it, fine. I wrote it because I wanted to share the love that the Blessed Mother had. This is what the greatness of God is all about. This is what we feel. I feel very strongly that we were born for greatness. All you have to do is open your hearts and your minds and your souls. Let God take over. It never fails, never. Believe me. So, what happened after that? I decided that perhaps it was time for me to take control of my life totally and let God rule my life. And I think about it many, many times that how much our Blessed Mother loves us, really, truly, truly loves us. She has come down from heaven so many times, in Tepeyac in Mexico, in Fatima, at Lourdes, in Knock in Ireland, and of course, Fatima and the other places that have not been approved by the Catholic Church, but they're not against our Catholic faith, like in Garabandal, in Tre Fontane in Italy, and in Medjugorje, of course. And her message is always the same. Pray, pray, pray. Don't ask for peace. Go out and make peace. Fast. Do penance. Do abstinence. And our answer to her always seems to be the same. We seem to ignore her pleas. We seem to forget. Sometimes I wonder if we even know how to do penance or make sacrifice. Doesn't it scare you that perhaps we have forgotten what it is to do penance and make sacrifices? The German poet, Goethe, he was a philosopher, he said, perhaps we should go back into the past, for what we have learned from our parents, we have to earn all over again for ourselves, or it will never be ours. Never. And perhaps an Anglican minister who came from England, he was traveling all over the world, he said that what he found in America was the same thing he had found in England, in Australia, perhaps he even came through New Zealand, in Canada. He said, what I found in all these countries is a soft, plush, easy, materialistic way of living where Jesus Christ is always put in second place, if at all. And he said, at the rate we're moving, at the rate we're marching, surprise me, if Russia and China, two communist countries, will be converted to a total Christianity before England and America. And he may be right. We wake up in the morning, and instead of going down on our knees to thank God for the gift of life and the gift of a brand new day, what is it that we do while we're having breakfast or showering or shaving? We look out the window, and we complain because outside it's a lousy, miserable day. We complain because it's too hot or too cold, too wet or too dry, because the traffic moves too fast or too slow, because children yell, our neighbors talk too much or don't speak to us at all, because husbands and wives nag. And sometimes we complain of something so silly and so stupid that a cup of coffee or a cup of tea happens to be cold. And yet we tend to forget that in this year, this era, today, April the 29th, the year 2000, we still have 3.5 billion, not million, billion pagans in the world. 3.5 billion people who may lose their souls forever. It's been 2,000 years since our Lord walked in this earth. And after 2,000 years, this is our answer to him. That after 2,000 years, we still have 3.5 million people who have never even heard the beautiful and precious name of Jesus Christ. 2/3 of the population of the entire world are going to go to bed hungry tonight. And hundreds of people, men, women, and children, have died over the centuries, not in auto accidents, not in diseases, not of hunger. They have died as martyrs, giving their lives defending their faith. And thousands more are still in prison behind communist countries, undergoing agonizing tortures and pains, like what happened to this poor Dominican priest in Africa. It was reported in the papers, maybe you read about it, where the communists decided to make fun of our Christianity, of our Catholicity, and they stripped this priest completely naked, they tied him to a tree, and then they decided to cut his body with a razor blade, inch by inch, so he could bleed slowly. Then they drove nails around the top of his head in mockery to the crown of thorns. They plucked out his eyes so he couldn't see. They cut off his tongue so he couldn't speak. And then they cut both arms right here at the elbow so he would never, ever be able to say Mass again. And then they built him an altar, a very horrible wooden diabolical. They threw the poor, almost dead body on top of the altar and said, okay, priest, give us your Mass. And this poor father, almost at the point of death, he raises the stump of his arm with the blood still rushing out. He points it to where here's the damnations and condemnations and blasphemies. He makes the sign of the cross. He forgives them, and then he dies. But you and I will wake up tomorrow morning, and we will complain, because outside is a lousy, miserable day. There are no lousy, miserable days. Every day is perfect. If it's raining, it's supposed to rain. If it's hot, it's supposed to be hot. And if the coffee is cold, it is cold. It was St. Ignatius of Loyola who was walking down a country road in Spain, and he fell on his knees and looked up towards heaven and says, God forgive me, I must be crazy, for I'm not a saint. And he was a saint. We don't want some future generation to pass by here in the year 2005 or 2010 and say, you who were here in the year 2000, what did you leave us as your legacy? What kind of example are we able to follow in this road, which happens to be the most important road, which is the salvation of souls? What are we going to tell them? Many people look at me and say, Tony, you look tired. I said, I am tired. You look exhausted. I said, I feel exhausted. Well, take it easy, Tony. You're traveling too much. You're doing too much. I tell them, as I'm telling you today, I'd rather be with people, talking to people, living with people, loving people, forgiving people, than watching television in the comfort of my living room. Because when my time comes that I have to face God, God's not going to ask me how much money did you make, how much titles and honors and degrees did you receive, how much power did you gain. He's going to ask each one of us one question and one question only. How much did you love with the years that I gave you? And I'm trying to live my life in such a way that perhaps, just perhaps, I might not have to answer him. If you forget everything that I've said in the last 40 minutes or so, but you remember this one final thing that I want to give you, that you can take it home with you, make it part of your life, part of your being, part of your very existence, I promise you, I sincerely promise you, that you will receive your greatest blessing, and I will achieve my greatest joy. And here it is. It makes no difference who you are, came from, or where life or destiny takes you. Always, 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 in everything, remember, there must be love. Because where there is love, there's faith. Where there's faith, there's hope. And when you have this combination, this triple combination of faith, hope, and love, that's where you're going to find the joy, the beauty, the greatness, and the sanctity that we're all seeking and searching for. If no one had ever told you before, then let me be the first. If you never heard it before, then hear it today, that you too were born for greatness, and you should never ever settle for anything less. Perhaps one day, we too, when Saul was on his way to persecute Christians and he was knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus and he became Paul the Apostle, perhaps we too one day will be able to say with him, I am sure now that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor might, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, that God which is our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for inviting me. God bless you. I'll pray for you.
I hope you enjoyed that talk. I absolutely love it. And there's a really fantastic one coming up next week on stewardship. So make sure you tune in, and it'll take 2 weeks. Tony Zuniga, his stewardship, it really will change your life. Okay, we've just gone past Divine Mercy time, so we do this little very, very quick prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organization in Auckland, Family Life International. You can look them up online, and there's always someone at the end of the phone who will give you some comfort and advice, and you can come in to their pregnancy centre, Gianna's Choice Pregnancy Centre, and get the help you need. So just give them a ring, and I'm sure you'll be very happy that you did. Have to apologise. I've been sick the last couple of weeks, and I don't know what happened to the Apostles' Creed last week. I think it was all over the place. I had a headache. I was sick. So if you think, that's a bit strange, it was. Okay, we're going to end again going out on my son's Liam very, very cheery tune. See you in heaven.
Wake in the morning, all the clouds are far beyond hell. The glass reflects my smile. Lifting the blinds and all the lashes round the night room.